Good evening. We're going to start in Acts chapter 20 tonight. If you'd turn there, please. It'll be Acts chapter 20, starting in verse 16. Acts chapter 20, verse 16. For Paul had decided to sail past Ephesus so that he would not have to spend time in Asia, for he was hurrying to be in Jerusalem, if possible, on the day of Pentecost. From Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called to him the elders of the church. And when they had come to him, he said to them, "You yourselves know, from the first day that I set foot in Asia, how I was with you the whole time, serving the Lord with all humility, with tears, and with trials, which came upon me through the plots of the Jews. How I did not shrink back from declaring to you anything that was profitable, and teaching you publicly and from house to house, solemnly testifying to both Jews and Greeks of repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, bound by spirit, I'm on my way to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit solemnly testifies to me in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions await me. But I do not consider my life of any count as dear to myself, so that I may finish my course and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify solemnly of the gospel of the grace of God." I came across this in my daily reading a couple days ago. I found great encouragement in Paul. Sometimes when the world's beating me down, which it's always doing, but maybe I'm feeling it a little more than normal, I try to remind myself of Paul, a man who exhibited great sacrifice and perseverance, serving the Lord with all humility and tears and trials. James writes, "Count it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter trials of various kinds, for you know that testing your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." You see, on this journey, we don't always get to see the end. We just get to trust in the Lord. But we can read about others that have gone on before us. And we can see how they handled their trials and their tribulations when they were amongst them and going through them. And just really encouraged by Paul, one who really did persevere through many great trials and a lot of hate. Because there are a lot that the world does to beat us down, but the one that really hurts me the most is the hate. Because it's the opposite of the nature of God. And it's from the devil himself. And here in verse 20, he says, Paul writes, "How I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable." Is that a powerful statement? That's what I asked myself. Did Paul have to overcome much? Does the Apostle Paul, who writes, "I did not shrink from declaring to you anything profitable," a powerful statement? Indeed it is. Turn back to Acts chapter 9. Start at verse 18. Acts 9:18, "And immediately there fell from his eyes," talking about Paul, "something like scales, and he regained his sight and got up and was baptized, and he took food and was strengthened. Now for several days he was with the disciples who were at Damascus, and immediately he began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogue, saying, 'He is the Son of God.' All those hearing him continued to be amazed and were saying, 'Is this not he who in Jerusalem destroyed those who called on this name and who have come here for the purpose of bringing them bound before the chief priests?' But Saul kept increasing in strength and confounding the Jews who lived at Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Christ. When many days had elapsed, the Jews plotted together to do away with him." Paul's not many days into his Christian walk and people are trying to kill him. Paul went from a ruler to being among the ruled. It reminds me of a certain someone else. Maybe from went from being a lion to being the lamb. You know, from being the persecutor to the persecuted and the oppressor to the oppressed. You know, Paul went from being able to do whatever he wanted, whenever he wanted, you know, to terror around every corner. And I mean right out of the gate, plotting to get rid of you. And he did not shrink in fear. I'm appreciative of Paul. The Holy Spirit solemnly testifying to him that bonds and afflictions await him, yet he did not shrink in fear. Acts chapter 20 here in our reading, verse 22, Paul says, "And now, behold, bound by the Spirit, I'm on my way to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit solemnly testifies to me in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions await me." See, you don't get to pull something like this off by regarding your life as more valuable than the plan of God. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Brother Dave talked about this, and I think we ought to read it again. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. We're going to start in verse 23. "Are they servants of Christ? I speak as if insane. I more so, in far more labors, in far more imprisonments, beaten times without number, often in danger of death. 5 times I received from the Jews 39 lashings. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have spent in the deep. I have been on frequent journeys in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on the sea, dangers among false brethren. I have been in labor and hardship through many sleepless nights and hunger and thirst, often without food and cold and exposure, often from such external things there is the daily pressure on me of concern for all the churches." You see, in Acts, he writes the trials and tribulations that were presented upon him from the Jews. But see, here the list is a little bigger because it's not just the Jews that Paul battled. The elements, false brethren, not limited to the Jews. Beatings, hunger, thirst, shipwrecked. You know, I try to read this and really think about it, because, you know, sometimes there are certain scriptures for myself that are a little easier to kind of read through. You know, it can get really easy to, you know, read through that real quick. You know, beaten with rods, stoned. Here we go. This one's my favorite. 5 times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. You know, my understanding was you couldn't lash a guy more than 40 times according to the law. So, you know, the Jews were nice. They only did 39. You know, thanks. Okay. Didn't want to go over that 40. 5 times the guy is lashed. I didn't check this out myself, but this morning we were reading Isaiah 53, and one of the students brought up that in the Passion of the Christ, from listening to some extra footage, they said that when they were filming the scene where Jesus was being scourged, that they had a wooden panel or plate or something on his back. And the guy missed one time and hit him. I didn't know this. And that guy said that was the most excruciating pain he has ever felt in his entire life. 5 times, 39 times a pop. I wonder how many lickings I could take. That guy said it was the worst pain he's ever felt. You know, I try to think, what would it take for me to shrink? Probably just one of them. Especially if you looked at what was on the end of that whip. Man, that thing shreds. Tears open skin. You know, is it reasonable to think that we could be lashed like that? Well, you find yourself in the wrong part of the world, and if you're not confessing Allah as God, that's how they deal with you. How many can you handle without shrinking? What Paul writes. You know, maybe it's the threat of prison. Maybe your government's saying your God's a separatist, and now you need to publicly denounce him. Okay? You know, maybe it's prison. Maybe it's the threat of death. You know, if it's the, maybe not just our lives, but the lives of our loved ones, maybe it's just the threat of death that, you know, can cause people to shrink in fear and to denounce their God or to keep from doing what they were created to do. Okay? If we're in Paul's shoes, it was only a matter of days before they were trying to kill him. So, you know, if that's true, then, you know, maybe give up right away and just go back to making tents. But the one that really jumped out to me, in verse 27 here in 2 Corinthians 11, he says, I've been in labor and hardship through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. Yeah, I've been a Christian about 5-6 years, and it has taken me 5 to 6 years to remember what day potluck is on. And so, knowing that, I had to plug it in my phone, in my calendar. You know, tomorrow's potluck, you know. So I was also equally as bad about remembering about what day was fasting day. You know, so then I put that in my phone too. And you know what it hit me when I was reading this? I have to schedule a day in my calendar to fast. I got it pretty good. I have to schedule a time to not eat food. How bad do I got it? And then that's not even the verse that really hit me, because then I go on and he says in verse 28, apart from such external things, there is the daily pressure of me, on me, of the concern of all the churches, and do I have that plugged in my phone? Does that reminder go off? Every day, as I'm fighting the battle to put food and water in this body, is the burden of the church, of God's people, on my shoulders. Colossians chapter 1. Thinking about some of this stuff, and it just really hits me. Paul did not shrink in fear. And we get to be the benefactors of that. And see, that's the point. Paul did not shrink in fear. And we can take the time to really try to take an appreciation for what he's done and to prepare ourselves for what we may have to do. But it was because Paul did not shrink that we are the benefactors. Colossians chapter 1, verse 24. Paul writes, now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I do not share on behalf of his body, which is the church, and filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions. Of this church, I was made a minister according to the stewardship from God bestowed on me for your benefit, so that I might fully carry out the preaching of the Word of God. That is the mystery which has been hidden from the past ages and generations, but now manifested in His saints, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We proclaim Him, admonishing every man, teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we may present every man complete in Christ. For this purpose also I labor, striving according to His power with mighty works within me. He did two things there that really ties in with what I'm thinking from Acts 20, is that Paul preached the, fully carried out the preaching of the Word of God. You can preach a partial Word of God. And you see, Paul, in the face of all kinds of trials and tribulations, and probably some for that matter that we will never be able to understand completely, continue to preach the full gospel message so that all men may be made complete in Christ. We are the benefactors of the labors and work of Paul. All the Lord's faithful have this in common. And that includes you and me. Faithful, not shrinking back, preaching the full gospel. You know, we, in God, we put our trust and we are not afraid. What can man do to us? Jesus says in Matthew 10, therefore everyone who confesses me before men, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven. And knowing that that is the character of the faithful sons and daughters of God, it reminds me of the faithful through whom we have the preserved word. This isn't just Paul. This is prophets, apostles, evangelists, elders, Gentiles. Hebrews 11 says they were stoned, sawn in half, tempted, put to death, destitute, afflicted, and ill-treated. So that the word could come to a generation not yet created and to serve in a time to come as a witness forever. You see, it is through the sufferings and through the perseverance of those faithful men and women that we have a preserved word that we can use to build a faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. We are the benefactors of that. And that begs the question, are we reading it? The power of salvation. Faith comes through the hearing of the word of Christ. Are we spending time in it? You know, Luke did mention Isaiah 53 this morning, and Isaiah 53 starts with, to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? The answer to that is everyone. All y'all. Jesus Christ, the arm of the Lord, has been revealed to the whole world, and it's those who are listening and looking that are finding him. You see, in Psalms and in Isaiah, where it talks about preserving the word for a people yet created and writing it down so that it may serve in a time to come, was because people who had it weren't listening to it. So through these faithful people, it was saved for us. We are the benefactors. There's a... Well, let's go to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. You know, do we have much to overcome? Yeah, I certainly think so. You know, the good news is you don't have to be sawn in half to go to heaven. Okay? Our afflictions are going to be different, right? We don't have to even parallel or even rival what Paul went through, if for that matter. But we do have to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, good news. We don't have to take the lashes and be sawn in half. We don't have to do that to make it to heaven, but we better be willing to do it because we are spreading the gospel. So who's going to be your benefactor? Who's going to be the one that benefits from hearing the full gospel because of your perseverance and because you didn't shrink back in the face of your trials of various kinds? You know, I've been hearing a lot of know who you are coming from up here lately. That gets preached a lot because it's important. And the reason why that gets preached from up here, know who you are, because if you don't, you will blink. You will come face to face with your fears and with this world. And if you do not have an accurate picture painted in your mind of who you are in Christ Jesus, you will blink. And you will shrink away in fear. You know, fear is a powerful mechanism, and faith is the only true answer. We don't want to be those who shrink away at fear at the coming of Jesus Christ. You know, anybody who's scared at the coming of Jesus Christ is scared because they can't honestly in their heart answer the question, did I give 100% in my life to Jesus Christ? We don't want to be those who shrink away in fear. But to be able to answer the call of our Lord, knowing that we are giving 100% to our King. You know, we give bosses 40 hours a week. How many hours do we give Jesus? We give Him every second when you put on the character of Christ. I think sometimes it's easy to forget that, you know, when you're adding up the hours you're putting in for Jesus and comparing it to your 40-hour work week, that it's, you know, the hours you're here and in your personal reading and in your prayer and in your Bible studies, but it really is standing in line at Walmart and having a good attitude. I was scheduled to leave Las Vegas Airport at 5 o'clock, and I got home at 1 a.m. It's a two-hour flight. You know, you throw a couple hours on the front end and a couple-hour flight and throw in a couple more hours on the back end, and boom, you got an eight-hour trip. It's supposed to take 2 hours. And so we're sitting on the runway in Billings for 2 hours after we've already landed. And so I'm there, wife's there, both my sisters, their husbands are there, and so eventually, you know, people are getting up and going up and down. And man, the one thing we noticed is it didn't matter if you were sitting in the front with Tandra, or if you were sitting in the middle with me, or if you were sitting in the back with Tamia, man, people were not happy. And I said, wow, what a great opportunity to have a good attitude. You know, guys, when you talk about what it is you're willing to give to Jesus, listen, if you are adding up hours at the assembly and Bible studies and midweek studies and in your prayer that and in your reading, that is great and that counts. I'm just here to remind you that didn't stop there. It is all the time. And if that doesn't, if that's hard to understand, I'm just trying to put it as simple as it is easy as being patient in line. Because the reality is if we give anything less, we will be looking for a rock to hide under when Jesus comes back. We have got to be able, now, when He comes, to say that we gave everything to Him. All of our heart and all of our intentions. We're back to Acts 20. And start in 18 again. And when they had come to Him, He said to them, you yourselves know from the first day that I set foot in Asia how I was with you the whole time, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears, with trials which came upon me through the plots of the Jews, how I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you publicly and from house to house, solemnly testifying to both Jews and Greeks of repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And the other thing He adds here, teaching you publicly from house to house. The other thing I try to tell myself, and I think I heard it from Luke, if you don't ask, it is a for sure no. I understand that not every single person sitting in this building is wired to go up and start a conversation with somebody. And I'm not saying you have to. I'm just saying you gotta ask. Because if you don't, it is a for sure no. All abilities and circumstances aside, a for sure no. That's not good enough for me. Not for me. In Romans 1, it said, it's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. If you really believe that, you will share it. If you really believe it is the power of God for salvation for everyone who believes, to whom all the arm of the Lord has been revealed, you truly believe that, you will share it. I remember reading a story one time about, it was a long time ago, an atheist talking about his Christian friend. He said, hey, you know what? It doesn't really bother me too much when my friend tries to talk to me about Jesus, because I know what he believes. And I would, knowing what he believes, be disappointed in him if he didn't try to save me. If he actually believes that there's life after this earth, and that it's one of tremendous paradise or eternal torment, and that's what he believes, and he didn't feel compelled to come and tell me, that would worry me. That was his point. He said, that would worry me a lot more than him trying to talk to me about Jesus when we're out for coffee. Okay? If you really believe this, you will share it. Let's go to Psalm 63. Psalm 63, starting in verse 1. O God, you are my God. I shall seek you earnestly. My soul thirsts for you, and my flesh yearns for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Thus I have seen you in the sanctuary, to see your power and your glory, because your loving kindness is better than life. My lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul is satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth offers praise and joyful lips. Our lives and our lips should proclaim the loving kindness of our God. Kind of shifting gears here. I think last time I was here, I kind of made a joke about technology, and the big worry is it's ruining our human interaction. And it is. But I'm also reminded of in the years past when instead of sitting on their phones at the coffee shops, they just all had their magazines or their newspapers in front of them. Okay? Mankind's going to find something to distract them from the pain of sin. Okay? And so my point is although I recognize the harm in that and that we're not actually having real conversations, isn't the very thing they're doing communicating? Are we not the most plugged-in generation ever? Is it even a competition? I just want to consider a couple things. Teaching you publicly from house to house. At a push of a button, some of you guys could communicate to over 1,000 people. I bet I could prove it too. I only got a few hundred Facebook friends. In Paul's third journey, Paul's third missionary journey, you can kind of get the feeling through where he's going, how he's doing it, and what he's saying. He's done this before. Okay? He's very intentful about where he's going, where he's staying. He backtracks along the same routes he went through the first two times. You get a sense that you following his maps, just in the way that it sounds, he got a plan. He knows where he's going. How much effort did Paul exert to put himself in a situation to have 1,000 listening ears? Traveled many miles to do it. Publicly, from house to house. And I'm not even talking about Facebook. I remember when you had to dial 1-800-COLLECT to make a long distance phone call. And I had some friends go to the Philippines this summer. There's a free app for that. Talking and texting for free to the Philippines. There's an app for that. I am old enough to remember when I typed letters on a typewriter and mailed them. Just barely though. Okay. Just barely old enough to remember. I did. I went to little church camps when I was 7 and made friends and, typed letters and, before you could put them on computers and email them. And you can send them to as many people as you want at one time. You should have seen some of these forwarding folders I had when I worked at Texas Roadhouse, man. Like, bloop, whoosh, half of the United States, I had 350-some stores, man. Bloop, bam, all of them at once. And so the obvious point is are you using it for Christ? Okay? Paul traveled thousands of miles, and might I add you, very unsafely, as we noticed, to share the gospel. We don't even have to leave our living rooms. This is something we should take advantage of. You know, you guys do great. I got a Facebook page, and you guys blow it up. People posting. You're a very encouraging guy, Dave. Posting verses, commentaries, devotional materials, videos. I mean, you guys blow up my Facebook page. I got a YouTube, and it's pretty much there for targeting truth. You know, and I appreciate Mr. Wilson for doing that. And there's a lot of people that actually are behind making that happen. Okay? Filled with materials and stuff that we can use to help get the gospel out. You know, you guys blow up my phone every day, sending me encouraging verses. Okay? Asking me to do my Bible reading today. You know, we do use these things very well. You know, my computer has lots of gigs of DVDs on them there to help support the case that Jericho is real and the Exodus really did happen and the prophecies are talking about Jesus Christ and you can prove it, all sent to my computer electronically. You guys are doing a great job. The other point is Christianity can't be done silently, but with great boldness of speech. If you don't ask, it is a sure no. And if we really are ambassadors for Christ, then we got to be able to speak on His behalf. But we can't sit there representing Jesus Christ and not be saying anything. And nobody's going to understand the will and the intentions that we're representing. And so I bring some of this up because we have great avenues to get the gospel out, regardless of our skills and our abilities. And in some where at a push of a button, I'm talking about thousands of people. Technology does make it possible to get the message out faster, but unfortunately it doesn't always make it louder. You know, people scroll pretty fast. I was just on an airplane, okay? People waiting for their flight, and it is just like headphones down. I don't even think they're even seeing what's going on. They're just waiting for the next video that's going to automatically play, you know, with the subtitles, so they don't even have to turn their sound on. Okay, and people are just scrolling too fast. The arm of the Lord has been revealed, and unfortunately, people just, they aren't looking. Okay, but when someone's not looking where they're going, what do? You lay on the horn, especially when they're cutting into your lane. Look where you're going. The arm of the Lord's been revealed to the world and they're sitting in the airports going like this and we're doing the same thing. At least I know I am. It was 8 hours, you guys. I mean, it passed the time. You know, in order to get the gospel loud enough for people to hear, you got to make an impact in your life. Make an impact in their life. How do you do that? Honk! Wake up! Your spiritual house is on fire. The technology is great. But in order to make the gospel message loud enough so that someone will see that, to get them out of their technological rut, you're going to have to tell them. You're going to have to tell them. You know, mostly by the way of your character, mostly by the way of your character, can you witness for God, but it usually starts with hello. It's got to start with hello. If you don't ask, it's a sure no. It really is a matter of just being bold. It takes great mental preparation. And I'm not up here preaching on it because I think it's easy. I'm talking to myself. I have to purpose just in my daily travels to talk to people, to say hi. You know, I I really do think that every day is an opportunity to publicly, from house to house, and share the gospel. I know people that have shared the gospel by taking a walk in the park. I know people that have been able to share the gospel by selling a car, buying a car. I know people that were able to share the gospel because they bought a car. Playing sports. That's how I was reached. Playing sports. Working jobs. Talking to telemarketers. Standing in line. Man, we stand in line a lot. Drinking coffee. Being on vacation. Having dinner. And driving. Have seen or heard of all of those. All things that we do every day, multiple times. And so my encouragement tonight is that Paul did persevere through much in order to speak to the people about the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. And we get to be the benefactors of faithful people like Paul. We're the ones that receive the word preserved. The example of, you know, we don't always get to see what the pressure and the heat being applied to our life looks like and what purpose it's serving. We just get to trust in the Lord that He's conforming us to the image of Christ and He knows what He's doing. But I'm thankful that we get to see examples and stories, people like Paul, who in the midst of some really, really terrible things and a lot of hate, did not shrink back in fear. Did not shrink back. And I just encourage us to ask ourselves, who's going to be the one that gets to hear the message of salvation because of us? Thank you.